Well, good morning and welcome to Ashworth Road. I'm Ryan Lenners. I'm a team pastor here at Ashworth Road. If you don't know me, and this year I have the privilege of getting to kick us off into our new series, A Christmas Story. We did this series a few years back where we take some of our favorite holiday movies of the season. Actually, we did Elf 3 years ago. We love the movie so much, we're like, let's kick it off again with Elf. There's so many storylines. And then it gives us the opportunity to preach on so many different messages from the holiday season that aren't maybe your traditional Mary and Joseph verses about Christmas. And so I'm excited today to be able to talk about a feeling that we can relate to, I think, from this clip of Elf, this desire that Buddy Elf has for acceptance and for love. And those feelings of rejection that he has then when that love isn't returned to him. So if you've never seen the movie Elf, and there may be a few of you in the room, the plot is that basically baby Buddy Elf is put in an orphanage, and when Santa Claus comes to the orphanage, he somehow crawls out of his crib and gets in Santa's big red bag. And Santa doesn't find this out, though, until he gets him all the way to the North Pole, and he doesn't really know where he collected him from. And so he's raised by Papa Elf, his surrogate foster adoptive father, and he's taught to make toys in the North Pole. But then one day when he's old, as we saw in the clip, they tell him that he has a real dad and that he can go find him in New York City. And so the remainder of the movie, he spends seeking the love and approval of his nasty, cold-hearted biological dad. And so what makes these scenes, I think, so funny to all of us is how uncomfortable they are. Is Elf is trying to do anything and everything that he can to win the approval of his dad. He's willing to sing him the most awkward song. He buys him the gift, and then he tries to copy him. He says, well, if nothing I'm doing is working, I'll just try to be exactly like him, and maybe then he'll accept me as his son. He's doing all these things to try to earn the affection of his father. And as we head into this Christmas season, I imagine this story is one that's actually common to many of us in this room today. I was raised by two loving parents in a very stable marriage, and I can still think back to times in my high school period where I remember trying to feel like I needed to earn my dad's approval, or I felt like what I was doing wasn't good enough, and I had to be better to try to earn their approval. And that's coming from a really stable home that I was blessed to be in. I know that many of you weren't as lucky, as fortunate as I was. You came from a home where maybe your dad was difficult, where maybe he was harsh. And so when we get to these holiday seasons, they bring up all sorts of feelings for you as you're trying to wrestle with the relationship that you have with maybe your parents or with your siblings or maybe an ex, as you're thinking about that love that you wanted from somebody that they just never returned to you. And when you were seeking that love, when you were trying to do all that you could to try to earn it, to get that approval and that love from them, as you were rejected time and time again, you were left feeling hurt, unwanted, and damaged. Maybe it's been years since you've talked with that person who's hurt you, who's left you rejected, but somehow it's during the holiday seasons that all these feelings that we don't feel through the rest of the year tend to come to the surface. And we have to wrestle with, you know, the fact that we're not spending Christmas with that person because they didn't invite us. They don't want to have a relationship with us. They never truly accepted us. They don't love us the way that maybe they love another sibling in the home. And so it's that feeling of rejection by somebody that you wanted so badly to love you, which actually unites many of us together, as almost all of us can relate to that feeling at one level or another. Like Elf, many of us have probably done all sorts of things to try to earn the approval and the affection of somebody we cared about. Maybe like Elf, it was your parent, but maybe it's somebody else, somebody who's very important to you, who left you feeling broken inside. And maybe you tried being really, really kind and sweet to them. You bought them gifts, or you did thoughtful jobs around the house. You're like, well, if I always clean up after them, if I always do this, if I don't do the things that I know make them angry, maybe then they'll love me. Perhaps you tried to change who you were so that they'd like you more. Like Buddy Elf putting on Dad's type of clothes. You tried to be the type of person you thought they wanted you to be. all in an effort to earn their love. Maybe you tried to achieve something, to be really, really successful, really good at something, so that then they would value you and that they would see you as worthy of their love. And today, I want to bring a message of love and acceptance to all of you who are wrestling with those feelings of rejection this holiday season. I hope to show you that God's love for you is more than just a warm, fuzzy feeling that pastors talk about around Christmas time, and actually find that it's a life-transforming love that makes a difference for you every single day of the year. If you'd open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3, that's where we're going to look today. It's one of the last books of the Bible, way, way at the back. It'll be on the screens, or if you want to look in the pew Bibles in front of you, it's on page 987. And here we're going to read a letter from the author, John, who wrote the Gospel of John. Much more famous book, the Gospel of John, full of verses that many of us maybe have memorized as kids. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." But here, he actually, at the end of the Bible, we have a collection of three letters that he wrote to Christians to encourage them, specifically 1 John. He's writing to many Christians to encourage them in their faith. Before I begin reading, I do have to say, I was planning on talking about the first three verses of John, but I found the first verse by itself is so pregnant with important concepts and ideas, I just had to stop there, or this message would have gone on forever and ever. Somehow what I found is John fit a four-course meal into one verse. And so that's what I want us to look at today. And so this is 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. We read, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And so today I want to slowly unpack this amazing verse so that we can learn more about what it means when we read about the love of the Father. When we read about the love of the Father, the first thing we see in this verse is the word "see," and it's a command. If we were reading from the King James, it'd be "behold." John's basically saying, I'm making a really big point here, and I want to make sure that everybody who their minds wandered as they're reading this letter, come back to me. Hey, you got to see this. I'm making a big key point here. He starts out with "see." This is a command. You don't want to miss what comes next. And then he says, "What great love." And this word "great," this adjective, is actually a really important word choice for John. The NIV uses "great." The actual meaning is what kind of love, what sort of love. It actually is putting two words together. From where does this love come from? And so what John's saying is oftentimes when this word is used in the Bible, it's used to show it's a special, magnificent, wonderful type. It's a kind that's different than all the other kinds. It's from a different type of place. And so the point John's making is this love is almost an otherworldly love. Where does this love come from? It comes from God. It comes from another place. It comes from a place we don't recognize. And so that's why in the NIV they say, "What great love." They understand that John's trying to convey something unique and special about the quality of this love. Sometimes we just read in our Bibles and we go, "Oh, what great love. Yay, I've heard that many, many times," and it doesn't strike a chord in us. But what John's trying to do when he says first, "Behold, see what great love," he's trying to show that this love of God is truly amazing. It is worthy of our awe. It is completely astonishing to us. We can't comprehend this type of love fully other than to understand that it is an incredible, great, astonishing, otherworldly quality of love that's coming from God. And so for us today, we need to recapture that amazement at the love of the Father. Next, we see that this amazing love is lavished on us by God. Essentially, he is the giver and we are the recipient of the love. What's most important about this is that God chooses to freely give us his love. In this verse, we see that it's not something we earn. Sure, some people try to earn God's love. They try to clean themselves up to show God that they deserve it. Or maybe they try begging for God's love through repetitive prayer. God, I just need you. I'm so sorry. I've screwed up. I just need you. Come here. And they over and over, they're praying this prayer because they don't feel like God's love is for them. They feel like they have to beg or they have to earn it. They have to win it. They have to do something to show that they are worthy of the love. Essentially, they act like Elf in the movie, doing whatever they think will win them the approval of the Father. But the problem is, we can't do anything to earn God's love. There's nothing we can do that makes us good enough or clean enough. No song or sexy lingerie is going to do the trick for God. And God knows that. He knows that we can try and try and try all day long, but none of us will ever be good enough to deserve God's incredible and amazing love. And that's why John is so astonished, not just at the type of love God has for us, but that he has freely given it to us, no strings attached. He's made this offer for the entire world, like John 3:16, which I already quoted. Finally, as we look at the love of the Father, like I said earlier, it's easy for us to fall into the trap of leaving this message, talking about God's loving acceptance, and putting it in this category of nice, warm, fuzzy, makes me feel good kind of love. And I can tell you, as I was looking at this message, I was laughing. I thought, Amy, this is a message that comes more naturally to you than to me. This is the type of message where I hear about the warm, fuzzy love, and I go, I struggle thinking about that. I compartmentalize it. I just say, oh, God's love, that's nice, and I put it down there. But what I saw in a commentary I was reading that just clicked with me is that when we look at God's love, we can't just see it as this feeling that doesn't do anything. We have to look at this incredible love that moves us, it changes us, and it transforms us. God's love isn't just something that we go, oh, that's nice. God's love is something that makes us different. It transforms us in two ways, both in our identity we see in this verse and in our character. So the first phrase that we come to as we continue marching through this verse is that we should be called children of God. And John isn't content ending there, pointing out just what we're called. He wants to make sure that we understand it's not just a name that Christians are supposed to use. Oh, if you follow Jesus, you can put on this name, this title, and you can call yourself a children of God. He wants to make sure you understand. And he says, and that is what we are. This isn't just a title. This isn't just, hey, you can call yourself a Christian or a child of God. He's saying, you need to understand what it means that God is Father and you are child. This is a big deal. This is your whole entire identity. He's saying, don't ever forget that God's amazing, freely giving love is more than just a feeling. It has changed you and made you his child. A side note here I do want to add in. Part of this transforming love of our Heavenly Father to make us the identity of a child and a father. For some of you, when you hear that language, you hear that God's a father, you struggle with that a little bit. Maybe your earthly dad wasn't a great dad. Maybe he was the type of man who was harsh, abusive, demeaning. He did lots of terrible things that tarnished your image of what it means to be a father. And what I want to tell you today is part of God's love is that it's a healing love, and that God can heal for you how you identify what a father is. Because when you hear about God as a father, you go, I don't know what that means. So I want to tell you what it means to be a father, how God has portrayed father for us. And we who are dads should be trying to follow this model. Is God as father is protector, provider, and discipline training. He's protector in that, you know, as a newborn dad, you get that baby in your arms, and the first thing you're thinking is, I will do anything to protect this child, to keep this child from danger. And that's what God says, that he will protect us from the evil one. He will protect us from temptation. When things are going really bad all around us, we know that God is our rock that we can cling to. The second thing is we know that God is provider. That's the role of a father, to provide. A child should never go hungry. A child should never not have clothes, not have shelter. A child should have provided for them the basics for life. And that's exactly what God says He wants to do for us. He will provide for us anything we need in that moment. Even when life looks like it's falling apart and we say, well, God, how are you providing? I'm losing my car, I'm losing my house, I'm losing my job. We know that God is truly meeting us right in the place that we need it most. He's filling us with love. He's filling us with care. He's helping us know that we're not walking it alone. Sometimes God's provision doesn't mean making us comfortable the whole way, but it is providing and giving us everything that He knows we absolutely need. And thirdly, it's training. No good dad can just allow the child to do whatever they want to do and hope that TV raises them on their own. A good dad is challenging and is saying, no, this is how you do it. This is how you need to live. This is what's best for you. This is how you become an amazing young man or young woman, a son or a daughter of God. This is what it looks like. And that's the role of God as Father in our lives. And so for those of you who struggle with this image of Father, I want you to understand, God is the good Father. God is the Father who will protect you, who will provide for you, who even when you feel like there's discipline in your life or something goes bad, you can say, okay, God, what are you doing? This is training. This is growing me. This is helping me become the person that you want me to become. And so for all of us, what we need to understand from the love of the Father that transforms us, we have to all take on this identity as a child of God. We have to understand that this identity needs to be the most important identity in our lives. A lot of us put on other identities. Well, I'm the mom, I'm the dad in my family, I'm the one who has great status in my job, who's respected, I'm an athlete, I'm this, I'm that. We all need to recognize the number one identity that God wants us to hold on to is child of God. That's first and foremost in our lives. Everything else is secondary. But what we have to have is the foundation of understanding who we are. When life's falling apart, when people are rejecting us, we have this foundation that says, but I am a child of God. I am loved. I am accepted. Yes, broken people are treating me badly. That's what broken people do. But we have a good, good Father who will never treat us badly, who will always look out for us. And so we need to cling to that identity that we are a child of God. We can't run from that identity and say, I don't feel comfortable saying I'm a child of God. And we can't feel guilty about it, say, well, I don't deserve it. I shouldn't call myself a child of God. What have I done? We can't let guilt separate us from the love of the Father. He's the one who said He will lavish it on us. He will give us all that we could ever want from Him. We must simply rest in knowing that you are a part of the family, approved and loved, not because you're good enough, but because God's love is amazing. And the second way that God's love transforms us is in our character. This verse ends with, at the end of it, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Why did John write that? I think the only reason that John would say that the children of God would say this is if the children of God were acting like God and not like the world. They were taking on the very character of God. And it's for that reason that the Christians, those who were following Jesus, became so unrecognizable to the world. It's because how they were living was so contrary to the sinful patterns of everybody around them. You see, children of God live with God's abundant love flowing out through their actions to others. And so when you're a child of God, it means that you're gentle. You're humble. You put others first. You're generous. You're willing to give, like we've talked about this past series. You're forgiving. When somebody wrongs you, you don't hold on to it. You let it go. You forgive them. And you're righteous. You seek to live a holy life. That's what it means to look like a child of God. It's to take on those character traits of the Father. When you're a child of God, you seek to help others simply because it's right, not because of anything you're going to get out of it. You seek to protect the vulnerable because that's part of God's character, is protecting those who need protection most. And so to a me-first world, The life of a Christian, the life of one who's seeking to be like God, the life of one who's allowing the love of God to flow through them, looks completely otherworldly. So as we receive and accept God's amazing and freely given love, it begins to flow out of us to others, and it transforms us. And so part of it, what's amazing about this, is that we don't actually have to seek to take on the character attributes of God. We don't have to say, I need to be more humble, I need to be more generous, I need to be more forgiving. What happens is, as we actually spend time with God, as we connect with Him in prayer, as we talk to Him and as we listen to Him, that love fills us up. And naturally, as we're filled up, it simply becomes the way that we respond to the world around us. It overflows through us. And so it's not how we gain this love and how our character changes isn't us trying harder. It's us simply spending time with our dad. For those who don't know me, I'm an adoptive dad, and I've got two sons that have lived in my home with my wife and I for 5 and 6 years, and they were both elementary school-aged when they came to live with me. So they were very, very different from me. They had very, very different life experiences than I had ever had when they came to live with me. But now, 5 and 6 years later, it's amazing how similar they are to me in some regards. How I respond to some situations, or how they respond, I look at it and I go, that's exactly what I was thinking. When somebody's doing something that's irritating to me, I'll have one of my kids be like, wow, that's really annoying. I wish they'd stop. I'd be like, that's really irritating to me too. When we're thinking about, you know, how to solve a problem or how to go about doing something, they're starting to think the same way that I think. And is that happening because they're like, well, I want to be just like my dad? I guarantee you that's not the reason. Guaranteed. They're not trying to be more like me. It happens because they've spent time with me. That's exactly what happens when we are when our character, our behaviors are transformed by the love of God. It's not because we're seeking really hard, we're trying really hard. It's simply because we're spending time with our dad, with our Heavenly Father. And we can't help but become more like Him. And more like His Son Jesus, who is essentially God incarnate, the person of God on this earth, showing us what it would look like for God to live on this earth. After walking through this verse now, here's what I want each person to clearly hear today. I want you to hear, let God's love transform you. This is a message that every one of us in this room needs to hear. Perhaps some of you are like Elf and you've been seeking love from people who continue to reject you. They leave you feeling empty and worthless. And if that's you, you need to hear this morning that God accepts you. The creator of the entire universe, the God Almighty, is also a personal God who accepts you just the way you are for who you are. And if you struggle with this message, you must understand He loves you and He wants to welcome you into His family forever. Regardless of what you've ever done, how you've treated others, the mistakes that you've made, maybe the years that you've spent completely ignoring Him or rejecting Him, He's offering this amazing free gift of His love and access into His family. There's nothing that you have to do to get this invitation. Like I've said already, this invitation has already been sent out to the entire world. Our job is simply to receive the invitation and to believe this message that I'm saying right now, that God's love is available to you. In the gospel that I was talking about, John wrote in 1 John 12, he wrote, "Yet to all who did receive Him," that's referring to Jesus, "to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." That's all it takes. It means saying, Jesus, I receive this invitation. I believe that it's available to me today. And you know what? I want that love. I want that acceptance. I've been seeking that love and acceptance from all the wrong people who have been rejecting me and leaving me feeling worthless. And I need to know that there is somebody more important than that person or that person in my life. The God of the universe who accepts me and loves me who will treat me as this good father, protecting, providing, and guiding me. If that's you today, if you've come here searching for that love and acceptance, but you never find it, then I encourage you today, receive that love. And if this speaks to you, I encourage you after this service, find me or Pastor Brent. We'd love to talk with you about this and celebrate this with you, that you understand God's love is available. On the other hand, there are others of us in this room who've heard about God's love for so long now that we've become complacent. We've taken for granted, and this is me for sure, this category, this incredible, awe-inspiring nature of God's love. We forget how blessed and how lucky we are that God has lavished and freely given this love to us, and we didn't have to do anything for it. Maybe you were raised in the church and you've always heard God loves you, and so you take for granted what it means to have a God and have that feeling of acceptance, no matter how you act or how you respond. And so my challenge to those of us today is that we need to remember how awe-inspiring God's love is. We need to stop taking it for granted. And we need to recognize that we truly are fortunate people, that we have had the opportunity to hear this message, receive this message, and rest in God's love. And so if this is you today, then I encourage you this week, take some time to thank God for how he has already transformed you through his love. And then ask him to let his love continue to flow through you in new ways. Ask him to show you ways that his love can start blessing the people around you. That you can see more generosity, that you can see more forgiveness, that you can see more kindness to others. Because you're truly understanding this amazing gift of his love and you're allowing it to flow through you to other people. Elf simply wanted to be loved by his dad, and we can all relate to that feeling. And many of us can also relate to that feeling of being rejected when we didn't receive that love in return. We live in a broken world with broken people, and sometimes they break us. But God is a father who extends his unfailing, amazing love to the entire world. He wants you to experience that love that you've always wanted but didn't know where to find it. In the movie, though, one huge difference between the movie, if you know Elf, and the world that we live in with God Almighty as our Father. In the movie, Elf is the one who goes out in search of his dad. Elf's the one who walks through the sea of swirly-twirly and past the gooey gumdrops and through the Lincoln Tunnel to New York. I think I got that. We think sometimes, we flip this and we think, I need to be the one who goes out in search of my dad. But that's not how life is. We actually have a father who's gone out in search of us long before you were ever born. That's why he sent his son Jesus into the world. It's like this rescue squad trying to bring everybody into the household, saying, this is for all of you. Come on in. He's searching after each one of us. If you've been feeling tings during this sermon in your side of, I need to hear this message, maybe that's because God pursued you and brought you into this place, this moment, to hear this message from him. That is the pursuit of God. We don't have to seek after God. He seeks after us. That's what a good father does. He provides everything we need, even when we don't know that we should be looking for him. And so now our response to knowing that love is available to us all is that we need to allow that love to flow through us and to transform us. For some of us, we have to allow that love to transform our identity, and we have to accept it and become the children of God that he has made available to us. For others of us, we need to allow that love to transform our character. Allow that love to transform how we treat other people, how we respond in difficult situations, because we respond how God responds to us, with grace and mercy and kindness and gentleness and self-control. That is what your Heavenly Father wants for you. He wants you to be transformed by his love. He wants you to live the life that he created for you. He knows what's best for you, and he knows that the more you look like him, yes, you will stand out from the world. The world won't recognize you. The world will wonder why you're acting the way that you do. But you'll be living the life that he created you to live. A life full of joy, a life full of purpose, a life full of hope, and a life full of love. You'll be able to bring salt and light into this dark world and then offer this same exact extravagant, amazing, freely given love to all those that you encounter.